Today's Amud, Nizbeitza Lamed Amud Aleph. We're holding by the Mishnah on the bottom of Chavtesa Mabez, beginning the fourth parak Be'ezus Hashem. So says the Mishnah, if on Yom Tov a person he wants to bring some pitchers, some bottles of wine from one place to another, let's say he has some place outside his house where he's storing his wine, and he wants to bring it into his house, and he wants to bring a lot of wine, so the halacha is lo yaviyem besalu bakupa. You can't bring it inside of a basket or inside of a box. If you're bringing lots of bottles of wine inside of a basket or of a box, so then it gives the appearance like you're bringing it for commercial purposes, and therefore it's avdin dechol. So continuing on the theme of avdin dechol. So bring a lot of wine in a basket or in a box, that's avdin dechol, so you're not allowed to do that. But you could bring it by carrying it on your shoulders or in front of you. That's going to be fine. Then that's obvious that you're just bringing it in order to drink it on Yom Tov. That's not going to give the appearance that of the Nechol. And therefore, that's going to be mutter. It's also, says the Mishnah, a person who wants to transport some straw. So let's say he has straw inside of his house and he wants to clear up his house. So if you're moving straw, lo yafshil asakupa la'achayrov, so you can't throw it behind your back. You can't put it into a box and throw it behind your back. That also gives the appearance like avdin dechol. But you could carry it in your hand and then like that, then there's no avdin dechol. And then on a different topic, although once we mentioned straw, so says the Mishnah on the topic of straw, umaschilin ba'arema sateven, that if a person has a pile of straw which he hasn't yet started, you could start a new pile of straw, and you could take some straw from there as firewood. You want to use some straw, it's a new pile, you didn't designate it before Yom Tov, you haven't started it yet. Still, it's going to be mutter. This seems to be according to Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold of muksa. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. But the Mishnah says you could start a new pile of straw. But if you have wood in your storage facility outside your house, so that you're not allowed to start taking wood from the storage facility, being that you didn't designate it before Yom Tov to use it. So the Eitzim you're not allowed to use. So it seems to be a stira minei ube. It seems like straw, even though you didn't designate it, it's going to be mutter. And wood that you didn't designate is going to be aser. So we'll see in the Gemara how to be miyashiv this seifa of the Mishnah. But says the Gemara now, going back to the Reisha, so he said in the Reisha that you can't carry a lot of wine in like a box or a basket that gives the appearance of Avdin Nechol. Instead, you have to do it in your hand, you have to do it on your shoulder with a shinoi, and then it's mutter. So on this note, says the Gemara, Tana, imi efshir lishana is mutter. That even though the Mishnah says that when you carry the straw, when you carry the wine, you have to carry it in the way of a shinoi, so it shouldn't give the appearance of Avdin Nechol, says the Gemara, if a person is unable to carry it in this shinoi, dick away for whatever reason, so then it's mutter for him to carry it in the box, in the basket, or behind his back. All these things are mutter if he's not able to make the shinoi. It says the Gemara that askin Rava b'mechuza, Rava made a takana in mechuza. He said that when you're carrying things, the daru b'duchaka, things that you would normally carry it over your shoulder, so lidru b'rigla, so that when you carry it on Yom Tov, you should do a shinoi, it shouldn't look like avdin dechol. Things that you would normally carry on your shoulder, so you should carry it with a pitchfork, it makes it a little bit easier. It's a shinoi that makes it a little bit easier, so that's something that you should do. And the daru berigla, something that you would normally carry, it's the weight or the type that you would normally carry it using a pitchfork. So lidru beagra, so then when you carry it on Yom Tov, you should do a shinoi, make it a little bit easier and do a shinoi, and carry it with the agra system, which was a system where a person would carry something using two poles. And that's how you should carry this item. The daru beagra, lidru beachpa. Things that you would normally carry using the agra system, so on Yom Tov you should make a shinoi, it's a shinoi that also makes it easier, and you should carry it with the achpa system, which is a way of holding something using just one pole. The daru ba'achpa nifrei sudari yulave, and something which you would normally carry using the achpa system, so the shinoi that you should do is you should put a handkerchief over the thing that you're carrying. Now for this one, Rashi points out that this has nothing to do with making it easier. here. This is just a shinoi be'alma. It's just something different. Do something different to show that, to make it that it's not ovdin dechol. So just do something different. Now, you can't do something different that's going to make things more difficult. We don't want to add to the tircha, but putting a sudur on top, putting a handkerchief on top, Rashi says, is not something that's going to make it really any heavier. It's very thin. And therefore, this is a shinoi that you could do that doesn't make it any harder. So you should do this shinoi. Ve'im lai efsher. It says, Rav, in the end of this whole list of takanas that he was making for his city, for Mechuza, that im lai efsher, if you're not able to do the shinoi, so then shari, you could carry it in the normal way. The amar mar, as we had before, that im efsher l'shani smutter, that the cases in our Mishnah, if it's impossible, if a person is unable to do it with the shinoi, so then he could do it in the regular way. Says the Gemara Vayter now, Amar le Rav Chanan bar Rav ul Rav Ashi. Rav Chanan bar Chanan said, Rav Chanan bar Rav rather said to Rav Ashi, he had a kashrut. He said that Amar Rabbanan, he said, the Rabbanan say, we just had it before, that kama de efshir l'shanuye mishanina. That as much as a person can make a change, so he's supposed to make a shinoi b'yoy matava when he does things on Yom Tov, not to do things in the way that he would normally do it during the week. Now I asked Rav Chanan bar Rav to Rav Ashi, v'ha'ahani nashi. But we have these women over in our town. The Kamalian Chazbayu Mayo, Biyoima Tava, they fill up their buckets with water on Yom Tov. They go to the well, they fill up their buckets with water, and they bring it back to the house. V'loi Kamishanyon, and they don't make any sort of shinoi. They carry it in the basket in an exact normal way that they normally would carry it in the bucket, and they bring it back home without doing any sort of shinoi. And the problem is V'loi Aminan Luhu V'loi Midi. And I don't see that anybody ever says something. No one makes a macha. The Rav doesn't get up in shul and say, everyone tell your wives, you know, they can't carry it in the normal way, or go help out your wives. No one's saying to make a shinoi. No one's saying that they're doing something wrong. What's the pshat? I thought you're always supposed to do things with the shinoi. So Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi responded to Rav Chanan bar Rava, and he said to him, Mishum Delei Efsher. Because in this case, it's impossible to make a shinoi. Because again, we don't want to make a shinoi that's going to make things more difficult. So in this case, when they would carry their buckets back from the well, it was impossible to make a shinoi that would be appropriate. Because Heichi La'avid, what should we do? What should we say? To do a shinoi that what? Demalia b'chatz b'rabba, temali b'chatz b'zuta. We should say that a person who normally carries the water in a large kli, they should carry it now inside of a small bucket, inside of a small kli. That doesn't make any sense, because you're going to make things more difficult. You think you're making things easier. Yeah, you take a smaller kli, you're going to make it easier, but it's not true, because why does you use the large bucket? Obviously because they need a lot of water. So if you take it in a small kli, what's going to happen? Kamapsha bihilucha. You're just going to make her have to walk more, because she's going to have to take extra trips. So that's adding to the tircha, because now she's going to have to take a few extra trips. So that's not a good shinoi to do, because that's a shinoi that's going to cause extra tircha. And so what are you going to tell me? The malia b'chatz b'zuta, the malia b'chatz b'rabo. So you'll tell me the opposite, that one who normally uses a small kli should use a big kli so that she takes less trips. But then kamapshi b'masui. That's making extra tircha, because now her bucket that she's carrying is going to be heavier. So yeah, it's less trips, but now each trip that she takes is going to be more difficult. So that's also a shinoi that's going to add to the tircha. So what are you going to tell me? Okay, so we have a shinoi that doesn't add to any tircha. And what's that? Techasiyeh benichtama. Just put a lid on top of the bucket. Like that, that's a shinoi ba'alma, and it doesn't really make it much heavier, just a small little lid, and that would be a shinoi that we should do. Well, says Rav Ashi that no, that also doesn't work. Because zimnin denaflo v'asi lasuye, because you might add to the issue, and by trying to avoid of the nechol, you might actually cause a potential iser daraisa. Because sometimes it's going to fall, and she might end up carrying it for no good reason. So then that's going to be carrying in the rishas harabim. So what are you going to tell me? A tikturei. That okay? No, I'll do something to prevent it that the lid won't fall off. What's that? You'll tie it on erev yom tif. You'll make sure that the lid is tied to the top of the bucket. I guess you could still open it to fill it up with water, but that ultimately it's tied to the bucket, and like that it won't fall off. Well, that's also problematic, because zimnin demafsik v'asi lemikterei. Maybe it'll end up getting untied on Yom Tov, and she'll come by mistake to, maybe she'll forget, or she'll just panic, and she'll tie it back onto the top of the bucket, and she'll be over on the malacha of kosher. So what will you say? Okay, fine, so then don't use a lid. Tifrei sudara ilave. So maybe just put a handkerchief on top. Well, says the Gemara, that's problematic also, because zimnin demitmish b'mayo v'asi lidei schitom. sometimes it might get soaked in the water, it might fall into the bucket with the water, and then she's going to come to wring it out. She's going to squeeze out the water from the handkerchief, and that's, she's going to be over on the malacha of schita, of dash. So hilkach loy efshir. So therefore, there's no practical good shinoi that she could do. So you're making this observation that these women, that they carry the buckets of water back from the well, and they don't make any shinoi. Nobody says anything. The answer to your question is because there is no shinoi to do in a way that it won't add to the tircha or create other issues. Says the Gemara now, a similar Gemara. Amar le Rava bar Rav Chanin la Abaye. Rava bar Rav Chanin said to Abaye, that Tanan, we're going to learn later in the Mishnah on Amid Vav Mebeis, a list of xeris of things that are asar mid rabbanan to do on Yom Tif. And amongst those, that list we have a mitapchin, that a person is not allowed to clap on Yom Tif. Also not allowed to clap on Shabbos. The reason for this is because it's like musical. And if you do musical things, so you might come to end up taking out an instrument. Maybe the instrument's going to break and you're going to end up coming to fix the instrument. Tikkun mana. And therefore, you're not allowed to clap on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So it says, ein metabchin, you can't clap. Ve'ein mesapkin, it's another like type of form of clapping. Instead of clapping using your hands, clapping one hand against the other, mesapkin is when you clap a hand against the person's thigh. You do it against your own thigh. That's a type of clap that Rashi says people used to do at times of simcha or also during avelus. So that also you're not allowed to do. Ve'ein meraktin, you're also not allowed to dance. Not allowed to dance. Also, you can't do these musical things. I once heard Rav Yeshua Kalish, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he once came to Eretz Yisrael, and I was there with a few people, and he told us, he said Beitza was his favorite Mesechta, and he said, I'll share with you a Chiddush right now on Mesechus Beitza. And the Chiddush that he shared with us was on these words of Ve'ein Meraktin. The Chiddush he said was that, if you look in Rashi over here, so when Rashi says you can't dance on Yom Tov, says Rashi, what does it mean, Meraktin? Meraktin means Beregel, it means with your feet. And now the question is, well, obviously you dance with your feet. We didn't think you were dancing with your head. So what's Rashi adding when Rashi says, Vei Meraktin, it means Beregel? So Rav Yeshua Kalish was Mechadish. He said that dancing, when Chazal Aser dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Ei Meraktin, it means tap dancing. It's the dance that you do with your feet. It means tap dancing. It means clicking your shoes against the ground. It's specifically that type of dancing that's Aser on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If a person wants to dance on carpet and in a way that doesn't make noise when you're clapping the shoes against the ground, so we held that was completely mutter, I believe. And that's what he said, then that's going to be completely mutter. That's what it means, Vein Meraktin. But Al-Kabanim says, so says Rava Bar Rav Chanan to Abaye, that the mission over there says you're not allowed to clap, you can't clap against your thigh, you're not allowed to dance. Now his question that he asked Abaye was that v'ha'idna, but today we see the chazinan da avdin hachi, we see that people are doing these things, people are clapping, they are dancing. So maybe that's the riot that it's not referring to tap dancing. How many people do you see tap dancing? But okay, so he says, so like maybe in those times people were tap dancing. So Rav Bar Rav Chanan said to Abaye that we see people are doing these things, v'loy aminin luhu v'loy midi, and nobody's saying anything. Nobody's making a machal. Why are none of the rabbanim getting up and saying that what they're doing is wrong? So Amar Le, so Abaye gave Rav Bar Rav Chanan a lesson, and he said to him, Ulutameich, according to you, let me ask you another question. Had Amar Rabba, that which Rabba said, L'leisiv inish apuma delechio, that a person shouldn't sit at the edge of a mavoi. Now if he has a mavoi, which is an alleyway that's surrounded on three sides, a midar reisa, it's considered a reshus hayachid, midar abanan, and you have to put up a lechi or a kaira, but it's batsim, it's a reshus hayachid. Said Rabba, a person shouldn't sit at the edge of this alleyway, at the edge of this mavoi. The reason being is Dilma migander le chefetz v'asi la'asuye, because maybe a chefetz, maybe someone will be playing a ball or something, someone's going to be playing with something, it's going to roll out of the mavoi, and then this person, he's not going to realize, he's sitting right there at the edge, he'll just grab it from right outside the mavoi, which is the reshus harabim, and he'll put it into the mavoi, bringing it into the reshus hayachin, so his mom is carrying something from the reshus harabim to the reshus hayachin. So therefore, Rabbi said that a person shouldn't sit at the edge of a mavoi. And Allah says Abaye to Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan, let me ask you, Vahani Nashi, we have the women in our communities, the Shaklin Chatzbayu, when they come back with their buckets of water, Vahazlan Vyasvin Apuma Dimavaya, they go and they sit at the edge of the mavoi, Vulay Arminin Luhu Vulay Midi, and nobody says anything to them. Nobody says anything that they're doing something wrong. So Ella, what are you going to have to say? That Hanach Lahem Li Yisrael, that sometimes there's a there's a hanhaga that we have that let the Jews be. Anachu emli Yisrael, let them be. Mutav shiyu shaygigin v'al yihu mizidin. Because better that they do it, they be a shaygig and not a mazid. If you start telling them that they're not supposed to be sitting at the edge of the mavoi, they're going to do it anyways. So therefore, what's the point in telling them something? Let them not know the halacha and they'll remain a shaygig. If you know that anyways they're not going to listen, if you know for sure they're not going to listen anyways, so let them just do it and be a shaygig rather than tell them, oh, you know what you're doing is wrong. Rabbi said you're not supposed to sit there, they're going to do it anyways. They're going to be amazed. So let them remain a shaygig and don't make them into amazed. So Malchanami, with regards to your clapping and your dancing, it's the same idea. The reason why nobody says anything is not because it's what they're doing is okay. Rather, it's because Hanuch lehem liYisrael mutav shiu shaygig and value mizidin. And sometimes we apply this on Haga that better that they remain a shaygig and not amazed, not to say anything. The Rush speaks out that this is only if you know for sure they're not going to listen if you give them teichacha. If you suspect that maybe if you give them teichacha, they might actually listen to you and stop doing what they're doing, so then you have a chiv to give teichacha. But if you know that they're not going to listen anyways, so that's when the Rush says, that's when we apply this on Haga of better that they be a shaygig and not amazed. The Tashbetz also says that by something, he limits this idea of Hanuch Lehem Lisrael, and he says that it's only by something that a lot of people are doing. If a lot of people are doing something, people are all dancing and clapping and doing these things on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so then we apply the concept of Mutif Shushaygi and Valyu Mizidin. It's only if a lot of people are doing it. But if there's only a few people in the community that are doing something wrong, so even if you know for sure they're not going to listen, you should make a macha and you should protest. Because even if they're not going to listen, but it's still good to protest so that other people don't learn from what they're doing. But if anyways everyone's doing it and they're not going to listen, you know for sure they're not going to listen, so that's when we say Mutif Shushaygi and Valyu Mizidin. Says the Gemara now, the Gemara makes a limitation on this idea. Says the Gemara, v'hanimili, this that we say, mutav shiyushaygig and valyu mizidin, it's only bidarabanan. It's only when it comes to an issa darabanan. Ava bidaraisa, lai. But when it comes to an issa daraisa, so then we don't apply the concept of mutav shiyushaygig and valyu mizidin. When it comes to, if you see someone doing something which is asr midaraisa, so then you should say something, seemingly even if they're not going to listen, so then you should say something, or really the Chodesh Aviv, I believe, is the Peliyotz. He says that the Pshad is because by a Daraisa, you're supposed to assume that they will listen. By a Daraisa, you're not supposed to be so sure that they're not going to listen. So therefore, it's only Negea, this concept, by a Darabanan. But by a Daraisa, you can't be sure that they're not going to listen. So I mean, it's Daraisa, they're going to do B'mezel, Chas V'Shalom. And therefore, by a Daraisa, you should make a Macha. However, anyway, it says the Gemara V'loi, it's not even true. Now, even by Daraisa, we apply the concept of Mutav Shiyushay. Again. And what's the raya? Says the Gemara, v'lohi lo ishna b'daraisa v'lo ishna b'darabanan. It doesn't matter if it's daraisa or darabanan. Lo yaminin lehu v'lo imidi. If you know that someone's not going to listen, so then you don't say anything to them. And the raya is da teisefes yom ha-kippurim. There's a chi of daraisa to be maisef michal al kodesh to add from the weekday to Yom Kippur, and it's daraisa hu va'achli v'shasu ad shechasheicha. And afalpike, and we see that people, they eat and they drink mamish right until shkia of erev Yom Kippur. Now you have a chiyuv to be meisav michol al kodesh, and people are eating mamish up until the end. V'loyam minim v'lu v'loymidia. Nobody makes a macha. You see that even though it's an issa daraisa, it's a chiyuv daraisa to be meisav michol al kodesh. Teisav es Yom Kippur is a chiyuv daraisa, and afalpike, and people don't say anything. So you see mutav shiyushaygid v'alyu mizidin, not to say anything that even applies to a din daraisa. As an aside, Tosis brings a raya from this Gemara that there must be some sort of shear to Tosis Yom Tov, to Tosis Yom Kippur. There must be some sort of shear, because if there's no shear, if even 1 second, even if you just add 1 second, you're mekayim the mitzvah, so then there's nobody that eats or drinks until the last second, literally. I mean, there's a way to calculate it so exact. So it's impossible that you're going to have a person that mamish eats and drinks until the last second. So when were these people eating and drinking until? It must be there's some sort of shear of zman that you have to add to Yom Tov that they were eating and drinking during that shear zman. Now, Taisus doesn't know how long this man is, but it must be, you see from this Gemara, that there must be some sort of shear. Now the Mishnah said in the end, Umaschilin ba'arema satevim. The Mishnah, we mentioned the stira in the end of the Mishnah. It says that you could take the straw, even though you didn't designate it before Yamtif, but you can't take the wood from the storage place. So now says the Gemara, Amrav Kahana, going on the first din, that you are allowed to take the straw. That Zaysay Meres Maschilin Ba'itzer Tchila. You see from this, you're allowed to start a new storage facility. You're allowed to open it up and start taking things from there on Yom Tif, even though you didn't designate it to use before Yom Tif. So Mani, so who is the Tan of our Mishnah that says that we don't care about the fact that it wasn't designated? It's Reb Shimoni. It must be that the Tan is Reb Shimon, the Lesley Muksa, who doesn't hold a Muksa. The problem is Eima Seifa. Then look at the next few words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then concludes, Avoloi Be'itzim Sheba Muksa, that you can't take the wood from the storage place that you didn't designate. So that's us and Rabbi Yehuda. So that's like Rabbi Yehuda who holds a Muksa. So the Islam Muksa. So it says the Gemara, how are we going to get out of this stira? That Hacha over here, meaning in the last case of the Mishnah, where it says you can't take wood from the storage place, really it's going, it's like Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold a Muksa. So why can't you take wood from the storage place? Because we're talking about not regular wood. We're discussing Ba'arzei Vashuche Yaskidan. We're discussing this expensive cedar wood that's designated to be used for building things. So when being that it's designated already to be used for building things, the Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis. It's not just regular muksa. It's muksa because of expense. Something that's muksa because of it's an expensive item, you would never use it for something else. Again, this is designated for building. That's something that you can't do on Yom Tif. And you would never just use it for something else because it's expensive. So then we say that even Reb Shimon agrees that that's out of your mind, that you're definitely not going to be using on Yom Tif. Something which is just usur, so like a pencil or something. So yeah, so maybe you'll end up want to scratch your head and you want to use the pencil to scratch your head. So therefore, Reb Shimon holds that the pencil is not muksa, meaning that if you have a use for it on Shabbos or Yom Tif, you could do it because it's a kli shemlachta lisser. You could use it letzarech gufa or mekayma. But something which is also very expensive, you would never use, let's say, this expensive wood to scratch your head, besides the fact that it might give you a splinter, but you wouldn't use it for something else. So therefore, that even Reb Shimon would agree that that's definitely out of your mind. You're not going to be using that. Vafilu Reb Shimon maida, says the Gemara. And even Reb Shimon's maida to that level of muksa, that is considered muksa. And therefore, the whole Mishnah is Reb Shimon. You could start new straw, but you can't go to the wood place to open up some new wood because that's discussing expensive wood. Regular wood would be just like straw, and it would be mutter. Or Ika the Masin La Seifa. Some have this similar Shaklavataria, but starting now with the Seifa case, with the case of the wood. That the Mishnah says in the Seifa of Uloi Be'etzim Sheba Muksa, that you can't start opening a new storage facility of wood that wasn't designated to be used on Yom Tif and take wood from there on Yom Tif. So I'm Rav Kahana, and on that Rav Kahana commented that Zaysay Meres ain't Maschilin Ba'etzer Tchila. You see from this last case of the Mishnah that you're not allowed to open up a new storage facility, a new storage container on Yom Tif, being that it wasn't designated to be used on Yom Tif, so you can't start using that on Yom Tif. So Mani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yehuda. He did Islay Muksa. The Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of Muksa. But the name of Reisha, but then look a couple words earlier, where the Mishnah says, Maschilin Ba'ri Masa Tevin, that you are allowed to start using new Tevin on Yom Tif, even though it wasn't designated. So that's us and Reb Shimon, the Leslay Muksa. So that seems to be going like Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold of Muksa. So says the Gemara on this, and Hasim over there in the Reisha of the Mishnah, that which it says that you could use the Tevin, even though it wasn't designated, really it's Rabbi Yehuda. Really the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. How are you allowed to use this tevin which wasn't designated? It's a new pile of tevin. Why? How are you allowed to start it up? Hasan b'tavnesarya. There it's because we're talking about rotten straw. So you're definitely not using it for any sort of commercial purposes. You're definitely just using it for fire, to fuel your fire. And therefore, it's naturally designated, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's naturally designated for Yom Tov, even without you specifically designating it. Ask the Gemara, why? Tavnesarya chazi latina. Even rotten straw, it still has a commercial purpose because you could use it for cement. It's not necessarily made for fire fuel, and therefore, how could Rabbi Yehuda allow you to open up the new pile of tevin? Says the Gemara, this is by beikaitzim, because no one has thorns in it, so you can't use it for cement. When you make cement, you have to knead it, and you can't knead it if it has thorns in it. So therefore, it's only going to be used for fueling your fire, and therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not muksa. So really, the Tan of the Mishnah, according to the second version, is Rabbi Yehuda. That's why you can't open up the new wood. So why are you allowed to open up the new straw? The reason why you could open up the new straw is because even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that this rotten, thorny straw is naturally made for fire fuel, and therefore it doesn't need to be designated. It's naturally designated, and it's not going to be muksa.